countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. I hope you had a great work week. It's almost over, and the weekend's around the corner, so hopefully you'll get to rest, enjoy yourself. We got a great show. We are going to be talking about some of the herbs that are bulb herbs. They have some, you know, common characteristics that we're going to talk about, and also talk about foods that you want to avoid if you suffer from asthma. And some asthma triggers there, and what you can do naturally for that. And if we get time, we're going to talk about some flu preparations because we got the cold and flu season right around the corner and some other things. So we'll see how the hour flows. And we do have a quack report. And don't forget, coming up in October, we're going to be interviewing two authors. First one is on the 6th of October. That's a Thursday night at 7 o'clock here on American Voice. We're going to be talking with Shane Ellison. He wrote Over-the-Counter Natural Cures. He's a chemist. He used to work for the pharmaceutical industry. Anyway, he's got some secrets to share. And then on the 11th, we're going to be talking with Dr. Malcolm Hill. He's the author of God's Healthcare Plan, and his book's being released the end of this month and will be in stores soon. So hopefully you'll join us for those two wonderful interviews with those wonderful authors. And if you want a free sample of a chapter sample of Shane's book, you can go to the powerherbs.com website on the homepage. And under What's New, you can click Shane's link to get a sample chapter of his book. So do come back and see us here, especially in October, for those interviews. And, of course, the third Tuesday of the month, we'll have Dr. Carly back. So we'll be chatting with her. And before we get to the Quack Report, a big salute and Semper Fi, always to our military, praying for them. God's hand of protection be upon our men and women who defend this nation. And while you're hitting the knees, seek the Lord's face and ask God to heal America. We need to pray for America's repentance. We need righteous men and women in positions of power to bring this country back under one nation, under God. And that's what we need to pray for. And God will hear and heal the land. But we got to do those things and we got to turn around. We got to make changes. We just do. And not the kind Obama is recommending. So let's do that. Pray uniformly. Let's pray. And without further ado, let's do the Quack Report.
Make way for Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century.
Daffy, he's always up for the quacker, let me tell you. Hey, we got the global cost of chronic disease. You want to hear about that? Yeah, between now and 2030, global costs to treat the five most common non-infectious diseases like cancer, diabetes, heart disease, lung disease, and mental health disorders is going to be a whopping $47 trillion, according to a report released by the World Economic Forum. Yeah, I mean, if you want to put that in perspective, $47 trillion, current U.S. national debt is $15 trillion. This means that the current rate of growth, the global health care costs, blah, 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 just to treat five diseases will exceed the U.S. national debt by more than 300% in less than 20 years. That's what they're saying. But if you put it another way, the entire global gross domestic product, you know, all the goods and all the services produced, $63 trillion in 2010. So five big non-communicable diseases is going to represent a shocking 75% of the current global GDP by 2030. That's just crazy. But if it's true, uh-oh. Okay, moving along in the Quack Report, hospitals, they say, are violating healthcare worker vaccine rights with impunity. Yeah, remember the swine flu emergency declaration, you know, whatever that was. 11 states, Washington, D.C., 11 states had some swine flu emergency declarations. Washington, D.C., America, Sonoma, and the entire United States in 2009, hospitals around the country were, you know, being implemented with some new flu vaccine mandates for their employees. Healthcare workers who worked for decades without getting vaccinated were all of a sudden faced with get vaccinated or be fired. So it was the vaccinated workers who basically most often took the sick leave in the winter months to recover from the flu that they got from the shot. Nevertheless, since the so-called pandemic, hospitals have increasingly been requiring vaccinations of their employees. So the pro-vaccine rush hasn't really stopped there. Vaccine mandates for these other areas of work, airline employees, pharmacies, and hospital sales representatives. So all workers initially, all adults, they want all adult workers in the near future to be vaccinated. That's basically it. That's the plan. You know, I'd like to see the people who work for themselves have make them to go marching over and getting a vaccine. Presently, immunization laws and policies for healthcare workers kind of vary widely from state to state and from hospital to hospital. According to the CDC, some states have statutory vaccination requirements for healthcare employees, and some only have recommendations. And about 20 have no requirements or recommendations at all. Leaves the entire matter up to the hospital policy. Now, of the 12 states that require one or more vaccines, only 6 offer medical exemption, 2 offer medical and religious exemption, that's Maryland and New Hampshire, and 1 offers medical, religious, and philosophical, that's Maine. So where employees are required to be vaccinated, where the concern is most healthcare workers are dealing with hospital policy only or a mixture of hospital policy and state law. So it's kind of confusing. Ugh, it's a mess. Let's just say that. Next up on the Quack Report, prescription drugs, they say, are you ready? Responsible for more deaths than traffic accidents. You know, I can believe this one. Every 14 minutes, they say a person is killed by their prescription drug. Whew! Medication-induced deaths are on the upswing all across America, according to a report. Drug-induced deaths have been so prevalent that their average yearly total now exceeds the number of deaths caused by traffic accidents. Truly a sad day in the world when the very medicines that you're prescribed to treat your disease actually kill you. That's bad. Even young kids are getting, getting in this net. Really. The number of drug fatalities has doubled within the past 10 years. Legal drugs now kill about 38,000 Americans in a single year, but these are just the deaths that we know about. These are just the ones that are reported. Prescription painkillers like Oxycontin, Vicodin, Xanax, Soma, and the new drug. Have you heard about the new drug? The fentanyl drug? Oh, yeah, which comes in the form of a patch or a lollipop. 100 times stronger than morphine. Largely going to be responsible for the upkick in drug deaths. You wait and see. Prescribed, these drugs are prescribed by their doctors actually for pain and anxiety. Well, I guess you won't be having any anxiety or pain if you're dead. Maybe that's the goal. I don't know. As little as 1% of the drug-induced injuries and deaths are even reported. And the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, to their advanced adverse event tracking system. So the actual number of drug deaths likely to be far higher than what we were reporting on. And based on 2008 data for the Institute for Safe Medication Practices, it estimates that as many as 500,000 Americans dying every year from their pharmaceutical drugs. Wow. What's up next? Let's see. Over 140 organizations are confronting the United Nations. Guess what they're doing? They're demanding recognition that junk food and beverages like soda, those industries are killing 36 million a year. Yeah, the United Nations Summit on Non-Communicable Diseases is held September in New York. 140 international non-governmental agencies and public health organizations are using this meeting to confront the UN. They want the UN to come clean about the organization's current approach to working with the food and beverage industries. And it's time for the UN to understand that many products and marketing strategies that promote these types of foods and drinks, like cigarettes and alcohol and junk foods, contribute substantially to the development of non-communicable diseases, killing 36 million people a year. Tobacco and alcohol, poor diet from empty calorie junk food, they're saying contributes significantly to non-communicable diseases like cardiovascular disease, diabetes, chronic respiratory disease, and cancer. And these foods and beverage products, they say, have to be responsible for about 60% of all the deaths worldwide. So these representatives of these 140-plus public health organizations are speaking out against the UN because of their ties to the junk food and beverage companies, highlighting their concerns. They have signed a conflict of interest declaration, and the document is demanding the UN make a clear distinction between business-backed nonprofit that are set up by representing by a closely linked business interest and public interest and non-governmental agencies. You know, so they're calling for the UN code of conduct and identify and manage conflict of interests in an up-and-up way. Yeah, good luck with that. And last but not least in the Quack Report, green tea. I love green tea. I don't know about you. I like that. Green tea, they say, alters gene expression and improves your cholesterol metabolism. So what? Well, green tea, if you drink it, it has benefits. They say health benefits, issues ranging from weight management to cancer prevention and treatment. And this new research recently published in the British Journal of Nutrition is explaining just how powerful the green tea, its effect on cholesterol metabolism is. If you have a dysfunction in your LDL cholesterol, it actually lays the groundwork for cardiovascular health problems, cancer, and a fatty liver. So if you take a basis, it improves that LDL cholesterol function, and you can skip those diseases. How's that? How easy is that? And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's strange. All of a sudden, I don't quite feel like myself. There. Now you'll never have to look at those dirty windows anymore. That's all, folks.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Hey, you can't lose your joy, folks. As bad as that Quack Report can get. Woo! All right, thanks, Daph, for lightening the load. Okay, we are going to be talking about some of these herbs that, you know, come from bulbs, you know, and have some health benefits. I'm going to call this section light bulbs, you know, because when someone says light bulb, you know, the light bulb went off, it refers to a good idea. Well, I think using foods and herbs that come from bulbs to stay healthy is a good idea. So medicinal herbs with bulbs are considered a rounded underground storage cell that contains a shoot or plant, and most foods and herbs from bulbs have common ground when it comes to health benefits, such as antibacterial properties, antifungal properties, anti-inflammatory agents, antiseptics, antiviral properties, antispasmodic action, antioxidants, expectorants, a diaphoretic where you kind of sweat the toxins out, cardiovascodilators, digestive aids, and diuretics. So let's go ahead and check out the power that we can tap into on just a few of the most common bulb foods or herbs that you can use every day. Now, I want to talk about garlic, one of my favorite herbs. It's one of the 13 herbs every medicine cabinet should have. And although we've talked about garlic before, there's always some new research on this amazing plant. So according to the naturopathic physician Jameson Starbuck, a study that was entitled The Effect of Garlic on Hypocholesterolemia in Renal Transplant Patients was published in the Transplantation Proceedings Journal. Now, this study involved kidney transplant patients with extremely high blood fat, which is a common problem, apparently, with renal transplants. So the patients had cholesterol levels over 240 and triglycerides over 500 or more, and they were given some standardized powdered garlic capsules, about 680 milligrams twice a day for about 12 weeks. And the research said the patients experienced, quote, significant beneficial effects, end of quote. And it could help reduce the need of standardized pharmaceutical lipid-reducing medications to, quote, minimize the chance of drug toxicity, end of quote. So I say go for it. Garlic's great. If it reduces what you have to depend on the pharmaceutical level, I'm all for that. Now, onion, which is another bulb plant, is cousin to the garlic. I've said this many times. It offers similar benefits and is excellent for the cold and flu season. It's an excellent cold and flu prevention bulb, herb. And I like to add onion to my garlic for natural therapy, so feel free to do that. Now, we've heard how well garlic works for conditions such as cardiovascular disease, the arterial sclerosis, cholesterol, hypertension, and even cancer. Now, the Journal of Nutrition did a peer review and found 35 articles written on the latest research on garlic. And medical textbooks from China, India, Egypt, and Italy all mention the medicinal applications of garlic. Richard Rivlin, he's professor of medicine at Weill Cornell Medical College and the director of the Nutrition Center at the Strang Cancer Prevention Lab, he says this, quote, I'm quoting him, cultures that developed independently came to the same general conclusions, namely that garlic could be administered to provide strength and to increase work capacity, end of quote. And he went on to say that the research being done on garlic will provide disease preventative and therapeutic benefits. And I agree with this viewpoint. I do. Garlic has long been a poor man's medicine. Now, what Rivlin said next concerns me. Garlic should be considered complementary medicine, not alternative therapy. End of quote. That's a big red flag. Regulatory medicine wants to take your garlic from the food list and make it a drug. So some additional health benefits of garlic were reported in the Journal of Nutrition, that garlic reduces the progression of precancerous gastric and bowel lesions. And to be fair to the countries listing garlic in their medicinal textbooks, you know, these countries are used to consuming garlic through their cuisine, and they would, and I'm talking 8 to 12 cloves of garlic per day. Americans don't do that, but the Europeans do. And according to Dr. David Cross, he's an associate professor of environmental science and biology at the University of Alabama, he says we should eat garlic raw, but if we cook with it, we should crush it at room temperature and let it sit for 15 minutes to trigger the live enzymes to boost the healthy compounds in garlic. Well, you've heard me say that garlic's got, you know, the wet and the dry cell. You cut into it and those cells have a chemical reaction when they mix together. And by the way, garlic, if you have garlic breath, it can be dealt with organically using whole cloves or fennel seeds, which is served in Indian restaurants to neutralize garlic breath. Now, if you want more of the health benefits of garlic, eating it raw is going to be best. Scientists at the University of Newcastle, at the request of the Horticultural Development Council and the Department for Environmental and Food and Rural Affairs, were looking for a non-toxic way to prevent pests. So they found that, you know what? Organic garden lovers are going to love this part. They found that they use garlic as a natural pesticide against garden slugs and snails. So if you've had that problem on your garden, you just got to go get some garlic. They found it worked on over 9 varieties of these pests. Whew. So the scientists put garlic juice in a sprayer and sprayed the plants to successfully repel these pests. Whoa, all natural. The next bulb I want to talk about is fennel. You know, most people don't think of fennel as a bulb plant, but it is. And, you know, people focus on the fennel seed, you know. But over the centuries, it has been cultivated and is considered a vegetable eaten both cooked and raw. In the western parts of North America, guess what? Fennel grows everywhere. But, you know, it's considered an invasive weed. Don't really appreciate it. Fennel is often added to alcoholic beverages in France and other countries. And for hundreds of years, fennel has been made into a syrup to treat babies with colic. But you don't want to overuse fennel this way, as it can depress appetite and can accelerate puberty. Okay? So use it sparingly on the babies. Typically, fennel is used to address digestive upset, your gas and your bloating. Excellent for that. It is also used as a diuretic if lobelia herb cannot be used, or it will help with hypertension. Now, in India, they use fennel seed juice or a tea for chronic coughs and for conjunctivitis of the eyes and also to repel fleas. Nursing mothers have used fennel seed to improve the volume of their breast milk. And in China, fennel is added to the herb poultice they make for snake bites. Especially if the snake bites slow to heal, the fennel seems to accelerate the healing. Fennel oil is more concentrated, though. And when you're using that, beware. Fennel oil is more concentrated than using fennel seeds or fennel tinctures. And they're going to contain high amounts or concentrations of a compound called estragol. And this acts like a female hormone estrogen, so be careful. In the 1930s, the pharmaceutical companies even looked at using fennel oil to make their hormone replacement drugs. However, no human trials were conducted. And small amounts of the fennel oil, like 1 to 5 milliliters or 0.03 to 0.16 ounces of the fennel oil can promote nausea, vomiting, seizures, and respiratory problems. So it's just more concentrated, so beware. Now, the latest research on fennel is for cancer treatments like the chemotherapy and also for weight loss. So that's what they're looking at it for, right now in scientific research. Women taking hormone replacement drugs, birth control drugs, or have breast cancer actually should avoid all fennel products because of the compound that acts like estrogen hormone. So be careful, be careful of that. Okay, the next bulb I want to talk about is chives. Kind of weird, but it is a bulb, and I haven't talked about chives. But it is a bulb plant and from the same family as garlic, onions, shallots, and scallions. And by the way, the recent research on scallions is they contain vitamin K and helps with blood clots and inflammatory bowel disease. It was reported in the April 2011 Journal of Nutrition. Shallots. Yeah, or scallions. Excuse me, scallions. So if you have difficulty digesting fats, you know, perhaps, you know, your gallbladder's flaring up, you might want to eat some scallions and you'll have more energy, according to the research. The Asian Pacific Journal of Cancer Prevention reported that scallions reduce your risk of getting cancer due to the antioxidants. But I want to get back to the chives real quick. It has been used during the Middle Ages to cure melancholy, depression, probably because the chives have a high vitamin B, C, and potassium. Now, in Asia, chives are known as the winter kitchen herb, and many herbalists will add chives to cooked dishes to help restore the nutrition that is lost during cooking and offer it to menstruating women due to natural iron in chives. Many of the compounds in chives are oils, which deliver this tangy aroma and taste. Additionally, chives have been used for digestive issues, heart disease, stroke, and as an antibacterial agent. New research is mentioning the compounds in chives will help the body digest fats. And for that reason, you can pair your chives with your scallions. There you go. Oh, I see by the clock we got to take a little break here at the bottom of the hour. And when we come back, we're going to talk about preparing for the flu, and also what to do if you got asthma. I'll be right back.
Thank you. pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
There's not a thing that I would change, 'cause you're
back here on Herb Talk. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're kind of wrapping up our little segment on the light bulbs. That's herbs that have bulbs that come out of the ground. These are basically underground storage cells that have lots of nutrition, and we just talked about what you can do with all that great nutrition. You know what? Most people are waking up, though, to how beneficial God's foods and herbs are at keeping them healthy, because in this day and age, you can't afford to be sick. You just can't. So you're going to find fennel tincture, garlic juice, all-in-one with your garlic and onion, even some barberry tincture for your gallbladder flare-ups and for cleansing it, all at Apothecary Herbs, along with their immune-boosting and organ-cleansing herbal formulas. So give them a call to order or to request a free product catalog. The toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. International number, it's a new number, 803-746-0219, 803-746-0219, or the website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, because, you know, that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Certified organic cold press formulas with complete instructions and product support. What could be better? I mean, really. If you're new to using herbs, you found the right place. They're going to instruct you, hold your hand a little bit, help you be successful at your health quest. Okay, we got some time, so we're going to move along to our asthma topic. We've talked about asthma in the past. And, you know, the goal is to reduce those asthma attacks because too many Americans have asthma. 16 million adults, 7 million children. The percentage of children that are diagnosed with asthma is high, 10%. And only 3% of the cases actually are able to resolve their childhood asthma as they move into adulthood. Now, asthma isn't going to be cured by the medical profession. You know why? Because patient visits account for $11 million a year. They're not going to say bye-bye to that. So yearly hospital admissions also for asthma patients, 400,000 of them, averages 3 to 4 days in the hospital, costs $16 million. Now, some health experts suggest or suspect that vaccinations are an early trigger for asthma. Early each year, 3,600 people die from their asthma condition. In a majority of the cases, this suffering and expense pretty unnecessary. So let's take a look at how we can diminish the severity of the asthma and possibly reverse it. So let's look. What did the ancients do for respiratory problems like this? Asthma has a long history. It's mentioned in the ancient writings of the Egyptians. The medications the Egyptians used for asthma was actually food, spices, and herbs. So in one Egyptian medical text about 1550 BC, physicians recommended figs, grapes, frankincense, cumin, juniper berries, wine, and sweet beer. In ancient China, camellia tea was used for the antispasmodic action to help breathing. Later in 1888, an asthma drug called theophylline was derived from chamomile. So the ancient Greeks and the Romans used garlic, pepper, cinnamon, and even vinegar. And during the medieval period, fennel, one of our bulb herbs, parsley, mint, fenugreek, radishes, raisins, barley porridge were used. And science is still kind of poring over this folk medicine to see if there's anything they missed that they can use to derive a plant chemical and from these pungent foods that work and make a drug out of it. Yeah. Let's look at the characteristics of asthma. You know what they are? It is not too difficult to spot an asthma attack. The unfortunate person who suffers from asthma, recurrent asthma, has wheezing, coughing, shortness of breath. And the attacks can be mild or severe when the airways to the lung become blocked or clogged with mucus. If the blockage is not removed quickly, suffocation can occur. And modern medicine will list the cause of asthma as chronic inflammation and thickening of the bronchial and nasal passages. And the inflammation triggers muscle spasms, further constricting the air passages, making breathing extremely difficult. Most medications reduce the inflammation caused by the asthma to open up the airway. So let's look at some of the asthma triggers. Majority of the asthma conditions are caused by allergies to toxins, foods, and even vaccines. The body produces an antigen antibody in response to these toxins. And one toxin can trigger, one toxin that is a big trigger is formaldehyde. However, the human body can't create an antibody for that toxin. Other triggers are going to be perfume, fireplace smoke, tobacco smoke, kerosene heater carbon emissions, and other non-chemical triggers are stress, trauma, cold fronts, and noise. Eating different foods, we can actually try to alleviate the asthma attacks and reduce the inflammation response. We want to dilate the bronchial for easier breathing, reduce the mucus, and avoid foods that trigger this allergic response. So you want to arm yourself. When the human body is exposed to toxins, it will try to detoxify these chemical substances through the hormones, the cholesterol, the vitamin nutrition, and your fatty acids. So it's extremely important to have sufficient nutritional stores in the body to perform these functions. So your liver will be responsible for a majority of these functions. So keeping the liver healthy, maybe cleansing it twice a year, is going to be real important to you. And what about in the wintertime? Well, one study found that weather cold fronts can bring on asthma attacks. The atmosphere gas can fluctuate, and the moisture can mix with various low-altitude pollutants and particle matter, changing the number of molecules in a unit of air, which triggers breathing problems. Dr. Dean Shepard of the University of California San Francisco School of Medicine found that kerosene heaters change the carbon and nitrogen dioxide as well as the sulfur dioxide in the air, and the sulfur dioxide can cause bronchial spasms with asthma sufferers, and they should avoid being around kerosene heaters. The glow of a wood-burning fireplace is also not recommended since wood that's burning emits formaldehyde into the air, and if you need to alternate an alternate heat source, the EPA is recommending pellet-burning stoves instead. Okay, let's look at some food therapy. We can glean a little knowledge from what the ancients used. In a German study by Dr. Walker Dausch of the Johannes Gutenberg University, it showed that onions can be an asthma sufferer's best friend. Dr. Dausch found that the onions have a strong anti-inflammatory action similar to anti-inflammatory drugs. The study reported that it has an anti-inflammatory compounds that were stronger than the popular anti-inflammatory drug prednisolone. So Dr. Dausch was able to prove that by consuming onions or onion juice reduces the risk of an asthmatic attack by 50%. The isolated compounds in the onion, they think, is responsible for this action is thiosulfonate. So the onions also contain quercetin, and it's an antioxidant known to relieve hay fever and to also stabilize cell membranes, which release histamine. So the study, a study out of New York State University by Dr. Eric Block, found another sulfur compound in onion that blocks the chemical reactions that lead to an asthma attack. So, you know, stock up on that onion. Also fish, fatty fish, and the oil from fatty fish can also be beneficial for asthmatics. By adding this to your diet, the body is able to regenerate the lining of the airway, remove that thickening and scarred tissue, and also restore easier breathing. According to a British study with asthma patients, eating 8 ounces of mackerel a day or taking high doses of fish oil for 10 weeks, they reported a 50% reduction in the inflamed passages. The researchers think it is the leukotrienes which help normalize bronchial constrictions better than a histamine. So by adding some fish that contains omega-3 fatty acids to your diet, like salmon, sardines, tuna, mackerel, may prevent an asthma attack. This is an interesting statistic that cold weather can trigger asthmas, yet, you know, the Eskimos who eat fish constantly have little or no asthma. So Joel Swartz conducted a study with the Environmental Protection Agency and found that fish eaters less likely to develop asthma or other respiratory problems. A London study at Guy's Hospital confirmed Dr. Swartz's findings, as did the French study out of Rothschild's Hospital. So get some onions, get some fish, some omega-3 fatty acids fish out there. Then there's the fruits and vegetables. The vitamin C that you find in your fruits and vegetables also can help you breathe easier. During Dr. Swartz's fish study, he found that fruits and veggies can help control the inflammation response of asthma. He found that by eating foods with at least 300 milligrams of vitamin C, the blood becomes rich with this nutrient and reduces the asthmatic response and bronchitis by 30%. To equal Dr. Swartz's vitamin C requirement, you'd actually have to eat 3 cups of broccoli or drink 3 8-ounce glasses of orange juice a day. Most American diets don't come close to that level. Dr. Swartz says that the vitamin C stimulates histamine production, and this can eliminate contractions of the bronchial muscle, which can trigger asthma attacks. The vitamin C also stimulates the prostaglandins to control inflammation. Other studies have been done using 500 to 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C to stop or prevent asthma attacks. Other research has reported that when asthmatics go vegetarian or remove a large majority of meat from their diet, they report a 71% improvement in just 4 months. So when the dietary change includes removing meat and dairy from the diet, they reported a 92% improvement. So get that mucusy milk food out of your diet. These foods are suspected to cause an allergic reaction triggering the asthma. So the other theory is that the animal foods contain some acids which cause inflammatory responses. So you'll want to keep that out of the diet. Cayenne, the hot and spicy foods of cayenne peppers, have long been an asthma deterrent. These foods are blockage busters and tend to open up the airways. So how does that work? Well, according to Dr. Erwin Zygmunt, a pulmonary disease expert at UCLA, he says hot peppers, garlic, mustard, onions offer this mucokinetic action. They thin and move the mucus, you know, that blocks the airways, it moves it. These foods stimulate the nerve endings and release water secretions in the body to move the mucus out. So you want to get those onions, you want to get those veggies, you want to get that fatty fish going, and you want your hot cayenne. Oh, I'm getting hungry already. Okay, asthma food triggers, you want to avoid these. These are certain foods that bring on asthma attacks. Most common foods are going to be your eggs, certain types of fish, or shellfish, I should say, nuts, chocolate, and Coca-Cola. The study done by Hammersmith Hospital in London found that Coke triggers asthma anywhere from 1 hour to 4 days after consuming it. Somehow, the Coke product increases the sensitivity to the histamine, and a study from the Netherlands found that some foods can offer a late onset or a delayed trigger to asthma, taking anywhere from 48 to 56 hours to engage an asthmatic response. So patients that avoided foods for at least 6 to 12 months, if you know you got a trigger food, avoid it for at least 6 to 12 months, and you're going to improve yourself by 93%. MSG is among the big additive that creates an asthma attack. So, and the thing is as MSG has alias names like yeast extract, which is in just about everything. So you need to know what the food industry is hiding behind, what labels they're hiding behind, but what is really MSG. Dr. True Ott sells a book online. You can Google this, Secret Assassins and Foods, and you can get a list of all the names that the food industry uses for MSG. Secret Assassins in Foods by Dr. True Ott. So you can check that out. Also, let's talk about some more herbs. We talked about the cayenne, of course, and the onion that can help. Mustard. Garlic is a wonderful herb to use not only to fight off that viral and bacterial infection, but also to aid with your bronchial secretions to move that mucus. Willow bark and meadow sweet and mullein herb are other herbs that also have the ability to reduce pain and inflammation in the pulmonary. So lobelia herb is awesome. It's a powerful antispasmodic to relax the chest muscle, to relieve the tightness, and to dilate the bronchial for easier breathing. Marshmallow root is high in some natural calcium, and it will soothe inflamed respiratory passages. Valerian root will calm the irritated nerves that trigger asthma. Peppermint alleviates discomfort or nausea or vomiting and helps to rest the chest muscle and or the abdomen muscle. And cayenne is a blockage buster, as we say, to move out that mucus, and it will help strengthen the body and to overcome weakness and fatigue and to build a resistance to your colds. So cayenne's excellent there. So you're going to find all these herbs, garlic juice, mullein tincture, willow bark and meadow sweet, and the pain reliever, anti-inflammatory, lobelia tincture known as relaxation formula, marshmallow root, valerian root, peppermint leaf, circulation cayenne tincture, milk thistle for the liver. All these are at Apothecary Herbs and more. So you can visit their website, thepowerherbs.com, to look at the products. All liquids instantly absorbed into the system, no pills to swallow, and certified organic cold press formulas, very potent stuff. So check that out, thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call toll-free and request a free product catalog. That number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. Okay, we got a few minutes, so we're going to talk about preparing for the flu season because, you know, they're gearing up for that, you know, universal flu vaccine. You've heard about that, right? Which they're going on a theory, and we're all the guinea pigs, or anybody who wants to line up for this thing voluntarily anyway, are going to be the guinea pigs to test this flu vaccine, which is supposed to cover all the strains of viral flu. Based on the theory that all flu viruses have an exterior protein coating, and so they've made a vaccine that attacks that protein coating to kill the virus itself, and they hope it works. So, but who knows what else is in the vaccine besides that. I don't trust the vaccine, to be honest, so I won't be rolling up my sleeve. But so we're going to prepare for the cold and flu season. Now, of course, you know, ER nurses and people, hospital workers, they may have to, you know, roll up their sleeve to keep their jobs. Unfortunately, that's the problem in that industry. But, you know, just the symptoms of flu. You know, you can get even the joint and the achy fever and even the headache. Sometimes headaches, the coughing, the swollen neck glands. This is not a good day when you have flu. And so we're going to talk about how we can prepare. You know, all through history they've been plagues. There's been this problem all through the ages. Plagues have been with us since the birth of sin. Okay? So to recount all the plagues that mankind has weathered would fill volumes. And in the 17th century, the Western world endured the devastating smallpox plague, as you recall, and it was difficult to find a family that was spared by the plague. Malaria, tuberculosis were very common. The more virulent infections and diseases were spread by fleas and direct human contact. Housewives drew on their last ounce of Christian faith and a well-stocked assortment of herbs and spices and dried fruits to help as many as possible and to reduce the mortality rate. Knowledge and natural healing tools were looked upon as a lifeline. And women of the house could not afford mistakes, and they acquired knowledge handed down by the centuries, trial and error, and, of course, by God's good grace. So, you know, they took it very seriously. Folk medicine wasn't, you know, this pie in the sky anything. And you know what? We have to be thinking about building up an immune system, not tearing it down and suppressing it. So a lot of the over-counter products, the aspirins, the pain relievers, the cough suppressants, these suppress immune function. And if you continue to do that on a consistent basis, you're going to have an immune system that's dormant, that's not going to work when you need it to. And then when you can't get medical attention like you're used to, what will you do? You already have an immune system. God gave it to you. It provides you 24/7 natural immune protection effectiveness, and you have the ability to enhance that immune system response and function for greater protection. You got to take care of it. Foods are your medicines, and medicinal herbs are going to help you even more powerful without the risk of side effects and death. So we're going to talk about some of these immune system foods. The do's and don'ts of your immune system foods, pretty easy. You don't want to, you want to avoid foods, I should say, that hinder or lower the natural immunity. In other words, foods that you crave most sometimes are the ones you should avoid most. They may suppress your immune system. Foods like sugary foods, nicotine, alcohol, caffeine, these types of chemicals you should remove, especially during the cold and flu season if you can. Food allergens will also kick up the immune system and it'll get it off track, and you should avoid things like wheat and dairy and eggs and soy, tomatoes, corn, yeast, and shellfish, especially if you're vulnerable during the cold and flu season. Common reactions to these foods would be headaches, nasal congestion, fatigue, a fast pulse, digestive upset, mood changes, fluid retention, and the inability to lose weight. So the immune system likes certain foods. You got some immune system friendly foods. These are going to be your fruits and vegetables, your whole grains, legumes, seeds, nuts, which don't cause an allergic reaction, of course, and, of course, your protein foods. So think along those lines, and when you move into the holiday season, you don't. I mean, the holiday season is, gosh, it's all full of temptation. Everybody's baking. Everybody's, you know, creating, and you really got to be vigilant and careful, or you may stress your immune system. There are some immune system herbs that help prevent and reduce illness and speed a recovery time. You can use these as a preventative, and some will help you recover faster when you are ill. Astragalus root is one of the most highly respected herbs to enhance human immune function to prevent illness. You can use this as a preventative. Echinacea root, you want to reserve that when you do get sick because it'll help you recover quickly, but if you use it too often, like as a preventative, it won't work as well. So keep your echinacea on the shelf for when you're feeling under the weather. Peppermint leaf has a diaphoretic property. It has a calming effect to ease any discomfort of a fever without lowering your immune system. Ginger root can calm an upset digestive system. So for vomiting, you want to combine your ginger, your peppermint, and fennel seed tinctures in an ounce of water. If you have diarrhea, add some slippery elm to that. And to relieve aches and pains, use the willow bark and meadow sweet. And for coughs, use marshmallow and thyme herb to calm the cough so you can get some rest without suppressing and keeping all that congestion in the chest. So you have tools, and you know where to get those tools. You need to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have them. They'll empower you with information on how to use them and give you a top-quality product at a reasonable price. Give them a call, toll-free number, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. Yes, I know, I got to go, but you don't go anywhere. Next up is Messiah's Branch with Pastor Dan Catlin. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.